Good morning. If you believe Jesus is risen from the dead, say amen.
Amen.
He is risen. He has accomplished the sacrifice. He is still at work to this day. And he is at work building his church the way he has designed it. And the way that he is building his church, one of the main ways that he is constructing his church is through spiritual gifts, and that's what we're going to be discussing this morning. This lesson is in preparation for the event in a few weeks where Chris Swinford is going to be speaking for the weekend on leadership and understanding that we all are bringing something to the table as Christ's church, that he has equipped us all to serve him, to serve one another, and the way he has done this is through spiritual gifts. So this morning, we're going to be looking to answer this question, what are these spiritual gifts, and what are we to do with them? And my first statement I'd like to make is that there are no ungifted Christians, that everybody has been equipped to serve together. One of my favorite people that I've gotten to meet over the last few years is one of our brothers in Anchor Point, Norman Lowell. And he is an amazing artist. He lives in Anchor Point, and he has a gallery down on the peninsula in Anchor Point. And if you are ever traveling through down to Homer or into Anchor Point, please take a few hours to go to his gallery and to look at his painting. He's a brother in the church, and his artwork is some of the best I've ever seen. But what I want to mention about Norman for us is several years ago, I was there at his gallery, and there was a class from a high school on a field trip taking a tour of his gallery, and Norman was sitting in his wheelchair, and the high school class was sitting in a circle around him, and they were asking him questions. And I was leaning up against the wall, just listening to the conversation, the questions being asked, and the answer he was given. And he responded to one question in such a nonchalant but such profound way that I'm still contemplating what he said. One of the students asked him, "Mr. Norman, what is your favorite painting?" And his response was, "I don't have favorites. I have a standard." I've been chewing on that for years. I don't have favorites. I have a standard. Just looking at you now, we are all very different. God has made us all so unique. But God doesn't have favorites. He has a standard. And looking at the paintings that Norman made, he has put so many countless hours into all these paintings he's made. God has put much more time and care into each one of us in the making and creation of each one of us. And he has a standard for each of us that he expects us to be and to meet. So we're going to be using this analogy of artwork throughout this morning's lesson. But we're going to start defining spiritual gifts and getting some foundational things about them. So we're going to look at three passages to lay some groundwork for defining spiritual gifts. The first is Psalm 139, verse 14. "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." So we are all made by God. And if you look in Genesis, we see we are made in his very image. And your soul knows it. There's something spiritual about understanding this design comes from God. You are not spontaneous. You are not from an accident. You are not from a series of random mutations. You are designed, handcrafted by God, each one of us, amen. Just like those paintings that Norman made. The second one that we're going to look at here is Ephesians 2:10. We're told that we are his workmanship. Your translation may have masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works with God, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you and I are all designed to be in Christ and to be in Christ for good works. So we have a design, and we also have a purpose. We have a function. And then last of our foundational verses, we're going to look at Matthew 25, 14 through 15. And this is in the middle or the beginning of the parable of the talents, where Jesus is teaching us, and he says, talking about the kingdom of heaven, he says, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants to him and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. So two important things about this passage, that the master is giving his property. These are his things that he's giving to his servants. And he's giving different amounts according to each individual's ability. So his property, but different amounts. So now looking at specifically spiritual gifts, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. And starting in verse 10, we're told, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So I want to first talk about gifts, just the concept of gift, because the word gift and our idea of gift has kind of been distorted through a various amount of cultural influence. See, we have things like gift cards, where, you know, I've received, someone several months ago gave me a Claudie's coffee gift card, which is really nice, and I've used it all already. And some of it I used for somebody else, but it was mostly for me. And I got, you know, coffee from that, and I really enjoyed it. And so this gift was for really my pleasure to use in the way that I wanted to and to enjoy it at my leisure. And that's not how spiritual gifts function. It was my birthday a few months ago, and leading up to that, in the middle of winter, I didn't have any toe straps, and some friends or people I knew kept getting stuck, and I would have to go to my parents' house and go grab some chains and then go and help pull some people out of the ditch. And so for my birthday, my dad got me my very own toe strap for my birthday. And this was my gift, was a toe strap. And it's a very sturdy toe strap. I've gotten to use it multiple times to pull people out. And it's been a blast getting to use it. But the difference between this and a Claudie Bros gift card is that I have to be connected to somebody else for this to be of use. I can't just use this on myself. I can't just tow myself around. I have to use this in a connecting fashion to another person, and then it becomes of benefit. So when God has given us gifts, they're not for our own pleasure. They are to be used to serve one another. So the things God has invested in us are not just for us to have a good time with, they are for us to use them to serve the people God has put in our lives. We are to be good stewards. These are his property, his things that he's giving to us to use. And to be a good steward means you need to have personal responsibility for what you have in your life to use to serve for others. And there's an important element in this passage that we're going to see repeated through multiple scriptures, and that is this idea of varied grace. I don't know if you've ever contemplated that before, but there is varied grace. There is equal love from God to everyone, but he has given varied grace. We all have the same reward. We all have the same inheritance. We all have the same redemption through Christ. But God has given varied grace, just like a painter uses varied amounts of color for that specific painting. He might put the same amount of time and effort and imagination and vision into that painting, but it's composed of different amounts of color. Doesn't change the value of the painting, but there is a variation of colors put into it. And that's where we have this idea of gifts, that we are all gifted in different ways. That doesn't change the value, but it changes the composition. And that's going to be a constant theme that we're going to see through passages this morning. So continuing in this passage in 1 Peter chapter 4, going on into verse 11, whoever speaks as an oracle of God. So when you're speaking as a Christian, or if you have a gift of speaking, you are not to be stating your opinion. I'm not supposed to be telling you my opinion. I need to be telling you what God has said from his word. This isn't about the most popular new trended thoughts. This isn't what culture is really starting to gravitate towards. This isn't what some new discovery perhaps in science may be claiming. This isn't just my own personal experience. I am to be speaking the words of God from his word and making sure that that is clear, that this is not Mike, but this is Jesus's word being proclaimed to you. So whoever speaks, speak as an oracle of God. It's not what a scholar says. It's not what other people have said. I need to be saying what God has said. And then likewise, in a similar way, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So in the speaking, it's not about the speaker. And in the serving, it's not about the servant. It's about the one who has spoken. And it's the one who is at work in this world. It's not about us. It's about God. And everything we do, we do because of God and for God. And this is what this own passage concludes with. In order that in everything, not most things, in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 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 This is all about him. Everything we do and everything we say is to be focused on and sourced from Christ. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So this is our foundation of spiritual gifts, that we are all made by God and for God, created in Christ Jesus for good works, and he's giving us varied amounts, each according to their ability, and everything is for the purpose of God. Now we're going to start looking at lists of defined spiritual gifts in Scripture. And we're first going to be in Romans chapter 12, and we're going to start in verses 3 through 8. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. There again is the varied grace. Let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, in service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, to the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity, to the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So first, I want to highlight in verse 5, we're told that we are members of one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So as the church, we are the body of Christ. We are Christ's hands and feet in the world. But not only that, we are also each other's hands and feet in the world. So not only am I the foot in Christ's body, I'm also your foot. And you're also my hand. And we are in this collective together, and we benefit together. Now, in these lists of spiritual gifts, there are some supernatural gifts that are listed. And these were present in the first century to confirm the message and to help establish the gospel on earth. And now it has been accomplished. And there'll be perhaps another lesson in the future about these supernatural gifts. But I've highlighted in this passage, in the next passage we're going to look at, current gifts that are still actively present in the congregations, in the church to this day. So we still benefit from prophecy in the sense we have the word and that we have the inspired word of God before us, the Bible. But these current gifts are highlighted in yellow. So we're looking to our second passage, and that's in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to the other the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So again, we have the Spirit at work, and he's giving different amounts according to his will. And so let's now take inventory of these two passages we just looked at. Let's make a nice itemized list. Let's look at current gifts that are active and established in the church today. So the first one, these also fall into two different brackets, going back to 1 Peter, and that is whoever serves as one who serves with the strength God supplies. And then the second category, it's almost everything you could fall into, whoever speaks as the one who speaks oracles of God. So all the gifts really fall into either service or speaking. So the first one is the gift of service, and that is to physically be of assistance to another person. You could think of the Good Samaritan. I think of y'all when someone's moving and how many people jump in to help somebody move in or out of this community. Or a few weeks ago, there was a group that went and helped clean at the senior center. Or when we host a VBS, or we host the Bible camp every summer, where there's this acts of service being done. Next is contribution or giving, and that is physically giving resources or the world's goods for the benefit of others. And we collect here for special needs of people as things happen in their life. We have, of course, our weekly contribution. I know that you freely give thousands freely to missions on your own, and this is an act of using the gift of contribution. Next is leadership and administration. And this is mobilizing people and optimizing resources and opportunities. I think of our children's curriculum that our deacons and their families have been so good at optimizing and planning events like in a few weekends from now, and even leading in your homes and making sure your home is organized and that your children are taken care of. This is a gift of leadership. Next is mercy, and this is patience and gentleness with those who are hurting or have done something wrong. And it is turning the other cheek, and it's not holding the past against somebody in the present. I think of our individuals who go out to the prison and do our prison ministry, and we work with the homeless and to bring food to those who are currently hurting or sick, and these are acts of mercy. Next is the spiritual gift of faith. And this one I learned a lot in studying and preparing for this in the gift of faith, because these are all, remember, toe strap type gifts. These are things to be used for others. So how is faith a gift to use in serving somebody else? When I was in Texas years ago, I was assisting and working on this farm. And there is these cattle one of my friends had, and he was helping them get from one field to another. And he had this electric fence that was the boundaries of this pasture. And on the other side of this fence, there was all of this corn that was going to be given to the cows to eat. And they removed the electrical fence in this one portion, and there was about 100 cows. And once the fence was removed, all 100 cows were right up to where the fence was, but none of the cows would cross the line. They would walk back and forth, but none of them would dare to cross this opening, even though there was nothing there. And it took about 2 minutes of these 100 cows just kind of swirling around, not daring to go through this opening. But eventually, one of them stepped out and went through this opening, and because of that cow's faith, or that cow's boldness, adventures, adventurous spirit, it goes through, and all the other cows were able to then go through into this pasture. You look at acts of faith in the New Testament where you have someone just reaching out to the robe of Christ. If I just touch it, I'll be healed. Or you look at the paralytic who's laid down into the home and the faith of his friends, willing to get out of their comfort zone and to do something for Christ, looking to get closer to God, and you're led. It's almost a type of boldness and adventureness. And I think of current day missionaries and people who are willing to get out of their comfort zone to do something that might be a little risky, but they're going to go for it. And that's a great service to the body as people with this gift get out of their comfort zone with an adventurous spirit, a type of boldness to then be a blessing to the congregation. I think of many of you who are involved in public speaking and involved in helping teach and also all sorts of different things that you're getting out of your comfort zone to do something for God, and it's a huge blessing to the body and many others. Next, we have discernment, and this is recognizing good from evil. I think of Scott Crockett's class here on Sunday, where we're looking at church history, where we're looking back and to see, okay, what's part of tradition, what's a cultural influence, and then what has the gospel said? And let's make sure that we're pursuing that and so we can recognize, okay, what is human and then what is godly. We want to pursue what is godly and what is Christ-like. So now we have, in this category of speaking, we have teaching as a spiritual gift, and this is imparting information in an understandable way. This could be a formal teaching, like I just mentioned Scott's class a moment ago, and it could even be what you're imparting information to your children, or I know many of you are having discussions with friends at work about different topics and things that are spiritual, and so this could be a gift of teaching. Exhortation, and this isn't just a type of pep talk. Exhortation is not just to make somebody feel good, but it is to speak the truth in love, and the truth that sets someone free. You see, there's four different types of communication that humans can do, and most people are only stuck doing the first two of them, and they're not very powerful. The first two is called simple communication, where that's just like, hello, hi, it's just small talk, how's the weather? The second is called command talk, and that's like, I would like a cheeseburger, pass me the salt. It's just command speech. And now the next two are much more powerful, and the third one is search talk, and that's asking, why are you doing that, or how are you today? What makes you happy? And you are now engaging, searching in a conversation with someone. And then the fourth, and this is the one that becomes into exhortation, it's called high art or love talk, and Jesus excelled at this, and it is when you speak life and truth to someone, where you say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, God loves you. You are valuable. You are part of his masterpiece. You are created for good works. And you start, that's exhortation. That's where you're giving courage to someone. And that is this gift of encouragement. It's not just making somebody feel good. Like, that's a nice shirt. You know, okay, that's a kind thing to say, but exhortation, giving someone courage, is speaking that fourth level of you are speaking life and love to someone and into their life. Next is wisdom, which is the application of knowledge, and then knowledge, which is being able to retain information. And then, I don't have time to go into them, but in Ephesians 4, we see that there's a gift of preaching, and there's also a gift of being an elder. And so this is a list of current gifts that the church is equipped with today. And as I was preparing this lesson, something I started to recognize is that these aren't like Christian superpowers that we're all equipped with in different amounts, but these are attributes of Jesus. These are attributes of Christ. Service, Matthew 20:28, Christ came to serve, not to be served. In that same passage, he came to give his life for ransom for all. So he has all these gifts at 100%. And so he has service, he has contribution for leadership or leading. In Luke 15, he says, take up your cross and follow me in mercy. And Luke 23, 34, he said, as he's going to the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Or you could think of the woman at the well. In faith, in Hebrews 12, 2, we're told that he is the author and perfecter of our faith. In discernment, John 2, 24, he knew what was in the heart of man. He didn't entrust himself to those people at that time. In teaching, in Matthew 5, 2, he opened his mouth and taught them. In John 16, 33, for exhortation, he told his disciples, take heart, I have overcome the world. In wisdom and knowledge, when he was 12 years old, in Luke 2, we're told that all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. In preaching, in Matthew 9, 35, Jesus was going throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And then as an elder, he says, I am the good shepherd. And in Peter, we're told that he is the chief shepherd in conjunction with elders being a form of shepherds or being shepherds. And so these gifts, they're aspects of Jesus. They're elements of his character. And then for the longest time, I thought perhaps we were only equipped as an individual with maybe a few of these gifts. But we're actually generally commanded to have all of these in all of our lives. But the gifts is that we have different proportions of each of these. But it's not like, well, I have a gift of speaking, therefore mercy is off the table for me. I'm not going to be very merciful because that's not my gift. I'm going to be a jerk now. That's not how this works. We are called and commanded to participate in all this. It's like the painter's palette. We all have some yellow and some red and some blue. We all have these fundamental colors, but then the ratios of those, the composition varies greatly, but it doesn't mean that you'll only dabble in a few of these, but we're going to look at how we are commanded for all of these. In service, in Galatians 5:13, we're told to serve one another humbly in love. In contribution, we are told in 1 John 3:17, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? In leadership, we're told in Matthew 5:14-16, that you are the light of the world. And so through your life, people are to be guided and led towards Christ. In mercy, in Matthew 5:7, we are told, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. If you want to receive mercy, we better be merciful. So I can't be a jerk then. I got to be merciful to receive mercy. In faith, we're told in Hebrews 11:16 that it is impossible to please God without faith. In discernment, in Hebrews 5:14, we're told that those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And 1 John also says to test every spirit. In teaching, in Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. In exhortation, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just in the fact as you are doing. Wisdom, in James 1:5, we're told to pray for wisdom. In knowledge, in 2 Peter chapter 1, we're told to add to our faith virtue and to add to our virtue knowledge. And then in preaching and in eldership, preaching in 1 Peter 2:9, we're told that we are to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're not all supposed to be formal preachers, but we are to be proclaiming, which is one of the words used for preaching, the excellencies. One of the words translated preach in the New Testament is laleo, and that's like a type of chit-chat, a type of small talk where we are to be proclaiming and expressing the word of truth to everyone around us. And then in eldership, you look at the qualifications of an elder and being hospitable, being able to take care of your family. Those are things that are noble. In 1 Timothy 3, we're told that if you pursue to be an elder, as if you are desiring a noble task. And so there is an element of Christ's character in all of these, and we are supposed to be like Jesus. So I went through that list. I know that was long, but I went through that for us to see that we're not just to cherry pick these things, but to be like Christ. Christ had all of these. We're to be like him, but we have these in different amounts. And what's so exciting about this is that we can look at this list and we can see that we fit into this somewhere. We are equipped with some of these. There are no ungifted Christians. And so we have these in different proportions in our own lives. So I want you to, we normally tell you to silence your phone, but I want you to get your phone out. I want you to take a picture of this list. We're going to have an assignment for the couple weeks from now. So go ahead and take a picture of this list. I'll give you some time to do it. I'll try not to make any funny poses or motions to be in your picture. I'll try to get out of the way. But I want you to take this list, and I want you to do two things within the next 2 weeks, because Chris Winford's coming here in 2 weeks, and he's going to be talking about how we can use our gifts in a practical way. I want, with this picture, I want you to, with your family or with a Christian friend, I want you to write out for yourself what three of these gifts you feel like you have in a greater proportion. I want you to write out three of them that you think, okay, I think I'm merciful, I think I can teach, and I think I can lead or administrate. And then I want you then to write out the members of your family, what three you see in them. And then your family will also do the same for you. And so you will have your own self-reflection, and then you also have somebody else's perspective. And then through that, begin praying and talking about, okay, God, have you given me a toe strap? Have you given me something to use for people? What am I working with? How can I be a good steward of what you have given me? You see, we are all part of the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. God has equipped us all to be used for his purposes, and we are, as a collective, his body in the world. Because I might struggle with some of those gifts. I might not have that in great proportion, but when we're collective, when we are working together, we're the body of Christ, and Christ is at work in the world through his people. And so we can have these qualities of Christ to their completion through our unity as the body. And so we operate together, and it's a unstoppable force when we are unified together for the purpose of Christ and as he designs it. When we work together, we're able to serve as Christ would serve in the world. When we're together, we're able to speak as Christ has spoken in the world. We're able to give the way Christ has given. We're able to encourage and to exhort as Christ has encouraged and has given exhortation. And so as we collectively are unified as his body, we're Christ's body in the world, and Christ's working through us throughout the whole world. And it's not just us, but there's millions of Christians throughout the world. And so this is the design he has had since his resurrection, since even before that, since the foundations of the earth, that we were to be created to be in him for good works. And the good works are using your gifts for his purposes and for his mission. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, which Mike read for us earlier about how we are all members of this one body. The next chapter 13, which we won't go into this morning, is all about the importance of love. And he talks about these gifts are so mighty and so powerful and so amazing, but if we don't have love, then all these gifts are worthless. And love is the life of the body. If I had great strength and I was the world's strongest man and the most intelligent person, if I had such great abilities, but you suffocated me and I was now dead on the floor, all that strength and all the capabilities of the mind would no longer be there. And that's how love operates with our giving, with our mercy, with our teaching, with our wisdom, with our knowledge. If love isn't present, then all those things are worthless. And then it's a dead body. So there's so much love in this place and in this congregation. I'm so happy to be a part of it. But now that love is there, we then have this body of Christ that we are to be faithful with. And that's an exciting idea, an exciting truth from his word, that we have some good work to do. This is called a photo mosaic. And this is a compilation of people's pictures, Facebook pictures. And what I wanted to show you with this, I'm a very visual person, and you and I, as Christians, we're part of something so much bigger than just ourselves. We are part of the body of Christ, the Son of God. We're not just proverbially or conceptually connected to him, but he has designed us, he has made us with the intention of being part of his body and for that body to be at work in this world today. Now, when looking at this, I thought about taking our Facebook pictures and our pictures from outside and putting them into a part of this, and I knew that if I was looking at this and I knew my picture was in there, I would be so distracted trying to find my picture. And I think most people in today's society have that struggle too. And where it's all, where am I? What am I, ooh, what part of am I in? Am I, and you're just trying to look for ourselves. I know I struggle with that, where I want things to be about me. That's not the way Christ's body is designed. It shouldn't be about us. Our identity shouldn't be us as an individual. We should see, I'm part of the body. I'm part of Jesus. And that is what's so exciting about his resurrection, that he has given us the means and the way and the redemption to be his body, to be part of Jesus today and forevermore. You would also want to look at your picture, and then you would like to see where other people's might be located in this body. And as we talked about a few weeks ago, comparison to another person is the thief of joy. When you start comparing you to someone else, there's no goodness that comes from that. God has specifically designed you and created you for a purpose. He has given you gifts for his purpose. There's one painting looking across the hall to another painting and saying, I wish I was like that. That's not the standard that the artist had for you. He has an expectation on how we are to live and behave. And he knew what he was doing when he made you. He knew what your abilities were when he invested in you. And it's not about value, but there is a varied grace. The Apostle Paul himself struggled with this. We hear in 2 Corinthians 12:6, he has a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what that is. But for three different sessions, he prays to God that this thorn would be removed. It could have been his trouble with his eyes. It could have been a form of PTSD from all the people that he helped persecute and kill before he was a Christian. He was wrestling with something that was individually specific to him. And he was asking, God, can you change this about me? And God responded to him, my grace is sufficient. God has given varied grace. He loves everyone equally, but he has given varied grace, and everyone's lives are different, and that's okay. But we're different to be part of this compilation, to be part of the body. And so we look at our lives and like, I wish this was different. I wish this could be changed. Have faith in knowing that God designed you specifically to be part of the body in a unique and glorious way. So fulfill your design by being part of the body. There are no ungifted Christians. So let's use the gifts he has given us and let's be the body that he designed instead of perhaps how we want to be and how our lives we want to have. Let's recognize that his grace is sufficient. It is amazing. It is perfect. God knows what he's doing. So let's trust his design. Let's be part of his body as he wanted it to be. Let's stand and sing.